Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to John chapter 10. In verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Those are the purposes of the thief. He steals and he kills and he destroys. In Revelation 12:10, he also has a ministry of accusation. That's how often he steals and kills and destroys. And then Jesus continues in John 10, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Do you have this? We often ask this. I think it's a very important question for Christians to ask themselves. We can gauge how we're doing with God by this question. Do you have this more abundant, superabundant in the original language, the superabundant life? Most Christians will experience highs and lows in their circumstances. But superabundant life is relatively rare. And so we have to ask ourselves, why is it so rare? And why, if I don't have superabundant life, why not? Because Jesus came that we may have superabundant life. Why is it that the purpose for what Jesus came for is being thwarted in our lives if we do not have superabundant life? And if we do have superabundant life, how is it that we have this superabundant life, and what do we do to preserve it, to protect it, so that we don't lose it? Remember, salvation is unmerited. Once you have it, you cannot lose it. It is a gift. However, there are things in our life that are not unmerited, that can be lost, that must be maintained. And superabundant life is one of them. In Romans 15:4, the Word of God says, whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that through the patience and the comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. That tells me that in order to have this superabundant life, I have to apply the Word of God in my life. I have to mix faith with it in order to apply it. And if I mix faith with what I hear, that necessarily means in Romans 1:17 that I'll go from faith to faith. That means that the Holy Spirit produces faith in me through communicating with me when the Word of God is proclaimed. And then I apply what the Holy Spirit communicates to me as He guides me in all truth in John 16:13, and therein is a relationship manifested with the Holy Spirit. If I don't mix faith, then God can provide answers and instructions. But in Hebrews 14, those answers and instructions will not benefit me. They will not cause me to grow. They will not cause me to be delivered. They will not give me the benefit for which they were sent. I have to have a response to God in my relationship to Him. Without that faith response, He may have a ministry to me, but it will not really be a relationship. How do we get there? Numbers 21:4 says, Israel journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food, no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many people of Israel died. Fiery serpents were poisonous snakes. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten when he looks at it shall live. Now, in Matthew 11:28-29, if I am stressed, if I am hurting, if I am in any way heavy laden, I come to Christ and he gives me rest. And this is what that passage is referring to, this serpent. When they looked at it, they lived. When I come to Christ, I live. He gives me rest. And continuing in verse 9 there, so Moses made a bronze serpent, and he put it on a pole. And so it was, if a man had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. We need the life of the bronze serpent. We need the life of the bronze serpent. But there's a specific way to get that life. And the reason why many people do not have superabundant life is because they do not have the life of the bronze serpent. They are focused on a variety of things. Martha, when Jesus was speaking at their house, and the crowd had gathered and Mary, her sister, was sitting at her feet, Martha busied herself trying to prepare dinner for the crowd. It seemed like a great servant sort of a thing to do. Many people would say she is a servant by doing it. But she was upset by the fact that her sister wouldn't help her, and Jesus said to her, Martha, you busy yourself with many things, but Mary has chosen the good portion. It's not that Mary isn't a servant, it's that she's chosen for herself the good portion. You're making dinner, she's chosen the good portion. You're making something for them to eat, I'm feeding them the bread of life. She's chosen the good portion. Martha was concerned with her circumstances. There's a lot of people at the house. You gotta be a good host. It's important that you show people hospitality. If they're coming to your house, you feed them. And so Martha is doing all the things that were considered correct and proper culturally, but she did not choose for herself the good portion. The good portion was what Mary had chosen. Mary sat there listening at Jesus' feet, receiving from him. Martha was focused on all the details. Mary was focused on the Savior. It's not what you're dealing with in life. It's not your circumstances. It's what you're focused on. Israel focused on their circumstances. Israel focused on the fact that not having what they wanted as they were going through the wilderness, after all, it was a wilderness, this was difficult for them. They were getting tired of the provision that God had given them, the same manna every single day. They forgot the fact that they were picking up this baked bread made for them in heaven, dropped down by God. They were picking it up off the ground and eating it. They didn't even have to prepare it. God was simply giving it to them. But they started looking at their circumstances. They started looking at the fact that the wilderness is hot. That is dusty. It's not pleasant. There's no place to permanently call home. This stuff is getting old. We're not happy. We want some steak. Can you drop some steak? We want something more, God. And they were getting into this place where God was providing for them exactly that which he had purposed for them. Remember, the wilderness experience was actually chastisement for Israel. They were supposed to only be there 11 days, but he had to humble these people so that they would believe. They looked at their situation and it killed them. They started to get negative. And when that happened, God said, okay, fine, you want to be negative? I'll give you something to cry about. You ever hear somebody's dad ever say that to them? Some kid starts crying and whining and dad says, oh, I'll give you something to cry about. Well, God is saying to Israel here, you're whining about nothing. I'll give you something to whine about then. And all of a sudden they realized that they had sinned. What happened? They were trying to deal with what was going on, and that was what they were focused on. Your focus determines what you're fellowshipping with and what you're feeding on in your life. Some people feed on negativity because they feed on their circumstance. If you're feeding on your circumstance, ultimately you will feed on negativity, because there's always going to be something about your circumstance that isn't just so to your liking. This is human nature. But we don't focus on the circumstance. Our life is not about our circumstances. We focus on the bronze serpent. And that's how we practice John 15:5. If you abide in the love of God, and my word abides in your frame of reference, you will bear much fruit. That's the result of our focus. We focus on the love of God. We focus on the word of God. Thereby, we are focusing on the bronze serpent. And as a result of focusing on the bronze serpent, we receive the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our life, and we have the impartation of the life of the bronze serpent. The life of the bronze serpent is a life imparting sort of a life. It's really talking about the cross. The bronze serpent was an analogy, a type for Christ. We come to the cross, and in that place we find our life. Sometimes you hear people say, yeah, my negative situation is my cross. My difficulty is my cross. That has nothing to do with the cross. That has everything to do with your focus. The cross is our provision for the life of God in all circumstances. The cross is our provision for the joy of God in all circumstances. The cross is our provision for the love of God in all circumstances. The cross is our provision for the peace of God in all circumstances, the fulfillment, the contentment, the goodness of God in all circumstances. The cross is where I meet mercy. The cross is where I meet my Savior. And the cross is what implements all forms of deliverance in my life. People complain about their circumstances and say, God, deliver me from this circumstance. And God says, just come to the cross and you're already delivered. You don't know it because you haven't come to the cross. Come to the cross and you're already delivered. What does it mean to come to the cross? Reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin, which is whatever is not of faith, and alive unto God. You've been crucified with Christ already. You live, yes, but it's not you that lives, it's Christ that lives in you. Reckon on that, accepted by faith. It's no longer about you, you don't have to make it about you any longer. We get stuck in this place where God says it's no longer about you, and we keep saying, well, yeah, okay, great, thank you, God, but it's still about me. And God says, no, it's no longer about you, you're one new man with Christ, you have a life apart from the old man, which has been dead, buried, gone, has nothing to do with you. And you say, thank you, God, I appreciate my salvation. I appreciate what you say about making me a new creature. It's all about me. God said, it has nothing to do with you. You're dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything about the life that you have in God. The problem is you keep focusing on the dead man. Don't focus on the dead man. You keep focusing on your relationship to your circumstance, and you say, oh man, this circumstance is so difficult. This circumstance is so challenging. How am I going to do this? I'm getting overwhelmed by my circumstance. I don't know what to do in this circumstance. God, this is so hard. What do I do with this? And it's going to get harder still. I'll guarantee it. It's going to get impossible because you're not carrying weights you're intended to carry. You are carrying weights you're not intended to carry. You're looking in places where you're not intended to look, and thereby you have no provision, and therefore you get overwhelmed. What's the problem? Your focus. Your focus is your problem. In Psalm 77:3, in the B part, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. You're not overwhelmed by your circumstances. You're overwhelmed by your negativity. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. You're not overwhelmed by the fact that there's a lot. You're overwhelmed by the fact that you're negative toward what there is. That's why you're overwhelmed. You have a person who's going through all kinds of things, work, job, family, what have you. All three put together, there's a lot of people like that. And they say, wow, I got so much work to do. I don't know what to do. The boss is constantly putting stuff on me. I'd have to be three people to get all this done. How am I going to do this? And then you get home and you have four kids and they say, oh God, these kids, they need my attention. They need my time. I got to help them with their school or whatnot. And then you say, by God, I got to maintain my relationship with my wife. I got to spend some time with her. I got to keep that relationship going on and healthy. And all those things are true except for one thing. That's your focus. And the more that you recite this to yourself, the more overwhelmed you become. What did God say overcomes the devil in Revelation 12:11? The word of their testimony. The word of their testimony. What is the word of your testimony? Oh, I have so much to do and the boss just gave me this new project and it's going to take me 5 weeks to do it and I only have 1 week to do it and there's just too much going on and I don't know what to do and this situation is bad and over here it's getting worse and my kid is rebellious and I'm starting to argue with my wife because I'm so tired and I'm getting ill-tempered and I don't know what to do about this, God. This is too much. And God said, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Well, what do you want me to do? Psalm 61:2. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Focus. Focus. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Moses elevated that bronze serpent on the pole, and when they looked up, not down, up at the bronze serpent, then they lived. God offers you that solution. The solution has never gone away. Your focus has gone away. The solution has not. Sometimes God lets you get overwhelmed to show you that your soul is empty and it needs to be filled. And somebody out there is going to say, what do you mean my soul is empty? I go to church. I read my Bible. I do this, that, and the other thing. No, your soul is empty. Whatever you do, you're not doing sufficiently to draw near to God, to come to Christ and learn from Him. Let Him be your teacher. Let Him guide you in the circumstance. You got to take your eyes off the circumstance. But how am I going to be responsible? We'll get to that. You got to take your eyes off the circumstance and put them squarely on God through His Word, the promises of God, the love of God, the goodness of God. And then your circumstance will be taken care of. And somebody's going to say, that's irresponsible. No, it's not. That's the only way to be responsible. Because remember, you're responsible to God much more so than anyone else, including your boss, including your family, including anyone else. Your responsibility, number one, is to God. So that boss who gives you a project and you got 1 week to do 5 weeks worth of work, your primary responsibility is to God. It is not to that project, it is to God. I'm not saying you ignore the project, I'm saying your primary responsibility is to God. Here's what happens. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. The wrong focus really does eliminate that thought from my frame of reference. But God says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. The boss isn't your God. The situation is not your God. The thing you're complaining about is not your God. You're just treating it like one. God is your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God is the one who does it. He's the one who makes it happen. He's telling you, I will strengthen you and I will help you and I will uphold you because you have a relationship with me. You keep that relationship active. Your circumstances and your handling of them will not sustain you. Christ sustains you in your circumstances. So if you're focused on a circumstance and you're pulling your hair out and you're saying, how am I to do this? You're trying to be sustained by your circumstance. You're trying to be sustained by your response to the circumstance, the way you handle it. It's not going to work. It will never work. It's not made to work. It cannot work. Why? Because only Christ can sustain you in your circumstance. Only Christ can give you what you need to get through those challenging circumstances. If you're focused on the circumstance, you're not focused on your provision. Focus on your provision, and then you'll have something going on whereby you can deal with everything else. It's not complicated. People sometimes say, well, I feel like I should be able to handle it. Dust? Do you realize you're dust? You don't realize you're dust, do you? You have some human righteousness going on. You don't realize that you're dust. You're going to handle what? God sends the divine vacuum cleaner into your life, and you say, well, I feel like I should be able to handle that. What? God sent it to get rid of it, and you feel like you should be able to handle it? What are you talking about? You're dust. You can't handle anything. None of us can. We're all dust. Dust can't do beans. So how does dust function? With the Holy Spirit imparting life inside of it. That's how dust functions, and that comes through a right focus for that impartation to become practical and real. That's how that functions. Your circumstance doesn't dictate anything. It doesn't matter if your circumstance goes the way you hope or the way you don't hope. It dictates nothing. If your circumstance takes away your joy, if it takes away your energy, if it takes away your ability to function with God, then your circumstance has the wrong place in your life. It's becoming God in your life and you're focused squarely on it rather than on the one who will strengthen you, who will help you, and who will uphold you. And the people who were in the wilderness and they looked at their snake bites rather than the bronze serpent, they died. And the people who looked at the bronze serpent, despite the snake bites, they had the snake bites too, but they wouldn't look at that. They lived. They had the life of the bronze serpent. They had a superabundant life, whereby even naturally deadly, naturally dangerous, naturally difficult circumstances could not overcome them. They overcame those circumstances not by complaining, but by trusting God in those circumstances. You complain and the circumstance will overwhelm you. It's a guarantee. The Word of God says so. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding, which is what takes place when a person is looking at their circumstance, they've abandoned their provision, they've abandoned their gaze on Christ, therefore they've abandoned their practical fellowship with Him, and they're looking at the situation, they're looking at the world around them, they're looking at their snake bites, they get negative as a result, and this becomes overwhelming. Well, Proverbs says, don't do that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Do not worry about your circumstances. Do not worry about what's going on around you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then it continues because people will say, well, you know, I have to be responsible. I have to take care of these things. I have to do it. Well, in verse 6, it continues with the provision. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. People get overwhelmed by circumstances, number one, by watching them, complaining about them, and number two, because they don't see how they're going to make things work, how they're going to handle it, how it's going to come out, how this can possibly work out in their life. They don't see it. They don't know what decisions to make in some cases. Well, He tells you right here, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Do you acknowledge Him? Not if you're looking at your snake bites, you don't. Not if you're complaining, you don't. Not if you're gazing at the situation, you don't. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. He'll give you the wisdom. He'll give you the ability. He'll be the one to make sure things happen. You may have to deal with your circumstances, so you trust in the Lord and acknowledge Him, and He guides you through your circumstances. I remember years ago, my wife on her job wanted this management position, and in order to be able to have that position, she had to take a rather long exam. And the night before the exam, she wanted to study more for it. But that meant she would have to skip church, and then she would have to skip the wrap after church, which was a time of fellowship and questions and answers and something that was very edifying. And she felt led to not skip church. And she was concerned that if she didn't skip church and spend that time studying, she would fail the exam. But she felt led. She knew it was the right thing before God. And so she went to church and the rap. And that got her home way too late in order for her to be studying and up in the morning fresh enough to take this exam. So she took the exam, not having prepared the night before. She had the highest score anyone ever had on that exam. Why? Fear not, I am with you. Neither be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will uphold you because of my relationship to you and the strength of that relationship. She strengthened her relationship and received the benefit from God. It's that simple. You think you're working on your own. You're not. You're only trying to work on your own. But with God, when we have the life of the bronze serpent, it's His life. Our life belongs to Him. We are not our own. Our life belongs to Him. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We belong to God. We may have a problem, but it's God's problem, not ours. Because we belong to God. We may have a situation going on, but it's God that has the situation going on, not us, because we belong to God. We may have a challenging circumstance to deal with, but it's God who has a circumstance to deal with, not us, because we belong to God. We simply acknowledge Him, have faith response, and when He shows us how to walk in that circumstance, we walk through it. When He shows us what to do, when He gives us definition, when He strengthens us, when He gives us the ability, when He causes things to happen that we can't figure out for the life of us, then please remember, we belong to God. It's His issue. It's His problem. It's His circumstance. I have an issue in my marriage, some people say. I don't know how I'm going to work this out. You draw near to God and God works things out. What if it goes well? What if it goes badly? You draw near to God and God works it out. God will work all things according to the counsel of His will. God has an eternal plan for everything that you face, including the minute details. Those are still within God's eternal plan. God is the one who's making it happen. God is the one who's ordering your steps. God is the one who's giving you the thoughts to make the right choices. God is the one who is empowering you to do it. You just keep your gaze on God, not your gaze on the circumstance. Don't waste your time with negativity or complaining. Keep your gaze on God and enjoy a life with God in your circumstance as you see Him come through for you in absolutely every situation. God will never leave you nor forsake you. What are you worried about? In John 15:4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Abide is the word meno, and it means to stand fast in place and hold out against opposition. And it also means to expect someone. When I do this in Isaiah 40:31, I get strengthened. So I'm abiding, and in abiding, I find strength. I'm abiding, and in abiding, I find ability. I'm abiding, and in abiding, I find provision. I'm abiding, and in that abiding, I find that God is doing things on my behalf, sometimes even behind my back, that He's helping me behind my back. He's helping me in all my situations. He's constantly working on my behalf, and things that I thought were impossible, they just happen. When the branch abides in the vine, it bears much fruit, and then he finishes it, without me you can do nothing. Why? Because there's no source. How am I going to do anything if I have no source? You always maintain God as your source and your provision by keeping yourself in the love of God and His Word in your frame of reference. I can do all things through Christ in Philippians 4:13, but without Him, I can do absolutely nothing. So if I'm staring at my circumstance, I'm trying to do it without Him. If I'm staring at the bronze serpent, I'm doing it with Him. He's doing it for me, actually. If I'm the one doing it, then I'll get overwhelmed. If I have to deal with the snake bites, I'll get overwhelmed. The snake bite will kill me. Now, if I'm staring at the bronze serpent, the snake bite cannot kill me. Why? Because of something I'm doing? No, because of something he is doing. I'm still human. Poisonous snakes are still poisonous snakes. A poisonous snake can still kill you. However, in application, when you are gazing on Christ rather than your circumstance, He does it all for you. It can't even touch you. When Israel stared at the bronze serpent, they did not die, not because they were less than human or more than human, but because God did it for them. Remember, you have a God who's very active and He's very willing to help you and He's very willing to do things on your behalf. You just have to stare at Him, keep your focus on Him, keep your fellowship with Him, maintain your relationship to Him, and then ask Him. If I have Him as my source, then I know that He's done all things. And I keep a relaxed mental attitude, and I'm able to produce fruit of the Holy Spirit. And that in and of itself will be far more effective, far more productive than anything I can do by staring at my circumstance and trying to figure it out. My circumstances are not resolved by my handling them. My circumstances are resolved by keeping my gaze on the bronze serpent, and he handles them on my behalf. You would be amazed how much more efficient, how much more effective, how much more productive a person is when they keep their gaze on the bronze serpent. In 2 Chronicles 20:17, you will not need to fight this battle. Whatever it is you're dealing with, you will not need to fight this battle. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. Do not fear and do not be dismayed. This is exactly how, in Romans 8:37, in all things, you become more than conquerors through him who loved us. You're living the life of the bronze serpent. Nothing can overwhelm you. Amen? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen."